I'm going to call a meeting to order. It's 4:05.
And so one thing I just want to point out, we have a new room and there's no microphones. The microphones are in the ceiling. They're extremely sensitive. And so you want to each speak one at a time. And also, if you're whispering, it may pick that up. You want to be aware of
Hot mic, got it.
Okay, for roll call, Commissioner Belcher, Commissioner Butter,
Here.
Commissioner Henderson,
Here.
Commissioner Moore,
Here.
Commissioner Pham,
Here.
Commissioner Ramon,
Here.
Commissioner Seabrook, Commissioner Sal.
Oh, she's not on the commission.
You're on the commission.
Commissioner Valentine. Commissioner Wagner.
Here.
Commissioner Whitehurst. Vice President Dieter. President Lindsay.
Here. And just for the record, we know that Allie, Judy, and oh, sorry, Commissioners Whitehurst, Belcher, and Dieter are out of town this month, and we expect Commissioner Seabrook and Valentine to be here just a few minutes late. So the next item on the agenda is swearing in of new commissioners. The commissioners have already been sworn in by the county clerk. Swearing in so the public can see it. So Ty, are you ready to be sworn in?
Yes, I am. Would you
Okay.
like me to read this or will I?
Yeah, if you could read this aloud, Commissioner Pham.
All right. I, Ty Nam N. Pham, do solemnly affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I'll bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duty upon which I'm about to enter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is number three, is approval of the agenda. Are there any changes that anybody wants to make? Okay, since there are no changes by acclamation, it's approved. Item four, approval of the minutes of May 2025. On the agenda packets, it starts on page four, and it was a little bit confusing, but I believe it ends on page 10. Are there any amendments or corrections? If none, can somebody move to adopt the minutes?
I so move.
Moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So moved by Butter, seconded by Ramon. Any discussion? Discussion? Would you please call the roll, clerk?
Commissioner Butter?
Yes.
Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Moore?
Yes.
Commissioner Ramon?
Yes.
Commissioner Wagner?
Yes.
President Lindsay?
Yes. Motion passes 6-0. Okay, so now we're on to agenda item five, announcements and communications from staff. Staff, any announcements?
No announcements from staff.
Commissioners, any announcements? And shock the whole world, I have no announcements. All right. So we're on to item six, public comments. So let's see how many people we have. Are the two of you going to make public comments? Do you need a card from them or?
We have. So we have two in-person comments and anyone on the Zoom call, if you want to make a public comment, please raise your hand now. Additionally, one on Zoom.
So then each person should get 3 minutes, but anybody else who raises their hand may not get 3 minutes.
On Hutchinson.
So good afternoon. I'm Helen Hutchinson, and I'm representing the six leagues of women voters in Alameda County. So thank you all for being here, and thank you for your service on this commission. I want to commend the ad hoc committee for a comprehensive report. The report is consistent with our league experience over the years with what's happened over elections. This commission, this elections commission, was created in response to longstanding public about election administration. The findings in that report confirm that those concerns are not anecdotal or isolated, that there are real longstanding and systemic problems. The problems have led to the erosion of public trust in our elections, which is one of the key pieces of our democratic system of government. It makes it much more difficult to persuade people to participate in their communities by voting. We strongly support all of the recommendations outlined in the report and urge the commission to forward that report with all of its recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. You, as the commission, have a role to represent the voice of the public. The ad hoc committee report is an excellent compilation of what the public sees and experiences. Thank you.
Pedro Hernandez.
Okay. Pedro Hernandez with California Common Cause. Thank you, and thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you, Helen and the league, for your longstanding leadership as well. I want to focus on the report itself, not just that these problems exist, but how they've played out on the ground. The failures identified in the report aren't just procedural, they've resulted in real world harm, voters receiving incorrect or no materials, language access violations impacting thousands of voters, election results misreported, including a certified error in the school board race. These are not one-offs. There is a pattern, and patterns require structural solutions. That's why the recommendations in the report aiming to provide not punishment, but reform, increased transparency, clear lines of accountability, more equitable access for voters across languages, abilities, and communities. This commission was created to be a public accountability mechanism. I know it's advisory, but that was its role and function when it was created. And this report is one of the most important outputs of your commission. I urge you to forward the report without further dilution or delay to the Board of Supervisors. Anything less risks sending the message that we're okay with business as usual, and business as usual has failed too many voters for too long. We did send an email, a letter to the commission, several voting rights and civil rights organizations. I don't know, it wasn't in the agenda, but I hope that you all received it.
It wasn't in the agenda, but I know I got it. Everybody got it because it was sent to the.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Don Rivera.
Oh, hi. So I want to address the speed of the tallying of the elections. And I realized, and I actually was present for the ROV's actually I thought it was a pretty good presentation last time, and gave a lot of detail that is not readily available, certainly to the public. And it does explain a lot of things. And I know that he's the ROV is bound by law to do, certain things. They have to wait 7 days past the election day to get in the mail in all the mail-in ballots that were postmarked before or on election day and be able to count those. And then there are issues with curing of the ballots, and they have restrictions there. But having said that, that does delay the certification of the election. But there is no reason for not, well, in my mind, there is no reason to increase the number of updates they give to the public, because the public can see these updates if they're often, like San Francisco, they're almost like every day, or maybe they'll do every other day and then every day after that or something. See, that is, although it's not a certification, it does give them an incremental update, and they see that, from update to update, it's getting closer and closer to the end, and they should be able, and they're with that. But with the certainly the last election, the mayoral election in Oakland, they would, release election night, and then the following Friday, and then the following Friday after that. And that was just, too long. And then, the November election was, I believe, if I recall, it was pretty similar to that. But San Francisco, even Orange County, they do almost a daily update. And it's that, I would say, is a pretty good compromise. He's hamstrung by the state laws to do these things, and that certainly delays the actual certification. But if you can increase greatly the number of updates in between, up until certification, that will go a long way for transparency, certainly. But just, some kind for the public to be able to see that something's getting done. And that's my 2 cents. Thanks. Bye.
That concludes public comment on agenda item.
Great. Thank you very much. So we're moving on then to item 7, which is monthly update from the Registrar of Voters Office. There's an attachment. Is there an attachment on this one?
There is. What page is that? I missed it.
Number 11.
On page 11, okay.
Okay. So a quick update this time. We do have a potential November 2025 election to our attention. Washington Township Healthcare District submitted signature petitions for a measure. We validated the signatures, and there were enough signatures to give it back to Washington Township Healthcare District. Say they had sufficient signatures for the township to move forward with an election on this topic. And the initiative with the signatures was titled Medical Emergency and Life Saving Care Funding Act. We have not yet heard back from the district, right?
Correct.
So we're waiting to hear back from the district now that we've given them the certification. Were sufficient signatures. If they move forward with a special election, as I said, that would be in November. I believe that's November 4th. Current registration for that healthcare district is 192,604 voters as of today. So it is a significant number of voters. It will be a significant election for us to run. The district covers the southern area of Alameda County. And that's my update.
Commissioners, any follow-up questions or comments?
had a question. So this is being put on by the healthcare district, is that correct?
That's correct.
And for comparison, how big was Oakland? How many registered voters of Oakland?
There are over 200.
Roughly 250?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is just a bit smaller than that.
Just a bit smaller.
And it would be a single issue election, one card.
We assume. I mean, we have to hear back from the health district, but that's what we would assume.
Anything else, commissioners? Actually, I was going to ask this. We talked about possibly next special election implementing the, never remember the elections code, poll pad thing.
Right.
So as a
16.5.
What is it?
3016.5.
Thank you.
Got it.
Good luck. But, you know, anyway. As a pilot project. So can you tell people if you're looking into that and how likely it might be to do? Sounds like a great opportunity to me, just to editorialize, but.
We are looking into the issue in general. And one of the things that we have to take a look at is there are physical things, if we move forward with it, that we have to purchase. For example, we would have to buy an additional trolley for those votes, because we know that we would be asked the question how many votes came in the manner without the envelope. So, and we do also know that if we trial it and it's successful, we would then be most likely rolling it out for the June election. So when we're looking at expenses, we need to take a look at all those hard expenses besides the logistics. So I'm just giving you some of the issues that we still haven't ironed out. We do understand that it's an opportunity, but I don't have an answer for the commission right now if we would be able to pull it off because of the logistics.
If you could keep us up to date, that'd be good. There's a lot of interest getting that implemented. Nothing else from anybody? Okay. Thank you, Registrar. We're going to move on to item 8. Item 8 is all of our business items. It's the meat of the agenda, typically. First item on here, the structure of the ROV position. None of the three people on the committee are here. And I'm wondering if maybe we should do items 2, 3, and 4 and see if Zabri comes, and then we can decide what to do after that. Is that okay with everybody? So we'll do the plan here, no objection. Just skip this one for now and come back to it, hopefully when Zabri's here. So the next item is 8A2, which is a report from the Voting Participation Committee. Our fearless leader is right here. So can you just give people a brief update about what the committee's been doing and such?
Several community-based organizations and individuals that live in the affected areas trying to find out, what they think is most effective, how they are being reached, who's coming to talk to them, who's giving them any type of voter education, and what kind, right? So we have compiled the information that we found, and I will have a report for you guys, a rough draft at least, by the 6th of July.
Great. And also I'll add, because I'm a member of the committee, that we found a couple of academics with David Wagner's help, at UC Berkeley, who work in this area and had a number of suggestions. They weren't exactly what we were looking for, but because they're doing more work like nationally and making recommendations to city councils and stuff. And what we're interested in is, are there any recommendations that we could give to the Registrar of Voters and possibly the Board of Supervisors? So it's not, but at least they're good folk that we can talk to that have been doing research for some of them for decades on this issue.
Jim,
yeah.
So are you looking primarily at the community affected communities in Oakland or throughout Alameda County?
Oakland, it would be Deep East Oakland and the lower bottoms of West Oakland.
Let's say that again, East Oakland
and West Oakland.
And West
Oakland. They're the areas that we're sort of using our key focus, but recommendations would apply to the entire county because the registrar serves the entire county. But that's like, you know, if you look at a geographical, well, the way we're thinking of it is if you look at a geographical area, Deep East Oakland and West Oakland are going to be bellwethers for what's happening with those communities. Other questions? Okay, thank you for the report. So the next item is the nominations committee. So Alex and Carl.
Yeah. So I'm the one that's been primarily responsible for getting this all back together again. After Benita left, we had trouble reviving our database that had been shut down of prior applicants when this commission was originally formed. But a big shout out to Amy Schrago. She helped us revive that. So that database is revived. We've been informed that three LAAC members have applied. And so we're going to take a look at those applications and hopefully have some recommendations back to you guys by next meeting.
Questions, comments? I'll say I'm thrilled to hear that. I really feel like Benita was fantastic for the language access community, and hoping that her replacement will be somebody from the language access community. So that's really great news.
And I'm pleased to see that we have somebody from the city clerks representing them on the commission. I see that was a big hole. So
I'm utterly thrilled to have Ty on the commission now. With no objection, we'll move on to the this is also Zabre developed it, but we could take a look at it. We have 15 minutes for it. Located. So this is on page 36. So this is item 8A for the April 15th post-election assessment. It's on page 36 of your this. It's pretty short. We could read it into the record, or what does, shall we do that, or just it is available on the website. You think we should read it in? Okay. I think I can. I'll quickly read it. You're going to read it? Okay. So Commissioner Moore is going to read it. Just go fast.
Okay, so overview. The April 15, 2025 special election in Alameda County proceeded smoothly with several improvements noted in comparison to the November 2024 election. This report summarizes the observations, improvements, and ongoing concerns discussed during the April Commission meeting. Notable improvements: ranked choice voting instructions, a new graphic, and updated instructions for ranked choice voting were implemented. These enhancements received positive feedback and may have contributed to the lower incidence of website enhancements. The ballot processing activities page provided an accessible and clear explanations of observable activities such as ballot scanning and adjudication. The Registrar of Voters Office, Registrar of Voters maintained a daily alert system and live stream ballot processing activities exceeding legal requirements. Website accessibility illustrated election-related topics on the website were easily navigatable and accessible to the public. Concerns and responses. Results posting frequency. The current schedule of posting results only on Fridays raised concerns. The ROV explained the schedule is intended to maintain to manage workflow effectively and ensure that each update reflects a significant batch of results. Ballots with missing postmarks. Concerns were raised regarding the counting of ballots that arrived within 7 days of the election and without discernible postmarks. The ROV clarified that under existing guidelines, such ballots are counted in the favor of the voter. 100% of precincts reported notation. The phrase continues to cause confusion. Although from vote centers was added since the last election, it does not clarify that the results are preliminary and include vote by mail ballots. The ROV is considering removing the 100% notation entirely to avoid misrepresentation. Electronic voting display for ranked choice voting. The electronic interface for ranked choice voting differs significantly from the paper ballot layout, and it is not explained in advance. As a result, voters encounter this unfamiliar interface for the time at the polling place, for the first time at the polling place. It would be beneficial to provide information about this interface ahead of time, ideally in the voter pamphlet. Additionally, on-site instructions that voters can review before using the device would enhance clarity and reduce voter confusion. Additional notes, voter eligibility, the FAQ page clarifies that ex-felons may register and vote, provided that they are not currently incarcerated for a felony conviction. Conclusion, the April 15th special election demonstrated operational improvements and enhanced transparency. While certain areas still require attention, particularly around public communication and result reporting, the ROV's efforts reflect a commitment to continuous improvement. At the top, it's just a graph.
There's a table. It's an example of the 100% of precincts reported. Thank you very much. Okay. Discussion?
I had one question for the ROV, and it's just about website accessibility. Do you guys have an ADA compliance consultant site just to check through and make sure that you get out of any of those particular issues?
So the county has on its web team an individual who's gone through the training and has been involved in the ADA assessments. Our website also has been evaluated for what is it, WCAG 2.1, right? The compliance, and so we've gone through that certification as well.
Thank you.
So just to clarify, the website is fully compliant with ADA. I know a long time ago there was some kind of suit and a settlement. Is that resolved? Wow, congratulations.
There would be a question. Is there a number on the website? Or like if somebody cannot, you know, understand the information that they're seeing on the website, like for them to contact.
We have contact information for how to contact our office with any question.
And that would, but does that include a phone number?
It does.
Thank you.
This is actually more for, and Zabri was the one who wrote this, right? So it was based on the accessibility, because she says accessibility a couple times in there, but I don't know if she was thinking, access. So that's one I'd like her to, you know, she might want to clarify that in here.
Where's that one at?
Pardon?
Where's that one at?
So on the third bullet under notable improvements, it says
okay.
Website accessibility, but I think it sounds more like she's talking about navigation. And I mean, the other thing is to check in with the Voting Accessibility Advisory Committee, because that's one of the things they're looking at all the time. So, but it's just one of those things. And it's good that it's WCAG. It's, you know, but it's a constant thing, you know, having to, you know, you have to check it every day, because you add something, it might break something else. Do you ever get comments on accessibility on the website, on the ROV pages?
It's mentioned when we meet with the VAC committee, and they're always looking, like you said, wanting to make sure that, the website or the information is accessible to those with disabilities, but not just website. It's pretty much everything, which is a great resource for us. But we do get some comments and then try to look at it from how we can correct or enhance.
And just, I think Irene helped also with this. I think Zabra was in lead, but I think Irene helped also. Just, that's my personal belief, just based on like remembering getting emails and stuff. Yes.
One comment on the concerns and responses. The current schedule of posting results only on Fridays raised concerns. If we were evaluating the November election, we were posting results more than just Fridays. So that Friday update was for the last Oakland election.
Just on the April.
This is just for the April.
For the
April.
Sorry. All right. So then that is correct.
Okay. All right. I mean, although you also did it election night, but whatever. Yeah. I was going to say that on the third bullet point, I think the most hopeful thing would be if it, like, let's say that you had 20,000 ballots that you knew about. If it said, you know, 10,000 of 20,000 ballots counted at 50% or something like that, would be ideal from a person who's worked on lots of campaigns or follows campaigns. And that would sort of be the equivalent of the old days when they would tell you percent of precincts counted. That was roughly, you could tell what percent of the, you know, because precincts are all about the same size, right? So roughly you could tell what was the overall percent counted. And then they started changing all kinds of laws and rules and stuff, and it became very confusing. The question I do have on that is, do you, you don't know until after 7 days how many ballots are in.
It's a moving target.
Yeah. Which is why I was thinking if it said 10,000 of 20,000 on the first day and the next day it said, or 2 days later, or whenever you next published, you know, 13,000 of 26,000 counted, good. You know, kind of see that more ballots came in.
One of the things that we are talking about, because this 100% is really legacy, and it was meaningful when the majority of our votes were coming in on election night in person. It still has meaning when we report to the Secretary of State on election night, but to the public does not. So what we are looking at is whether it's more meaningful to post on our website the information that we also deliver to Secretary of State concerning unprocessed ballots, so that we're consistent in our messaging on our website with what also shows up on the Secretary of State's website. So, and that has a breakdown of what we have, what's been processed, what we haven't processed. It also has a count of what we think is needs to be cured. So there's a larger wealth of information that may be more pertinent to the public as opposed to putting this.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Not only that, I've heard that sometimes the state updates its site irregularly.
It does.
And so that if the not a big surprise, but that if the if you guys posted it right there, people wouldn't need to go try to look at it at the state, and then it's not posted and there's confusion caused, it would just be there.
And not everybody knows that they should look to the Secretary of State's site for that information to begin with.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Karen?
I know that in, I think, not the last, not the Oakland election, but the one before, I was going to the Secretary of State website to get that information, and it didn't make any sense to me about why they had it, but Alameda County didn't. You had to be supplying it to them.
That's
so.
Right. That's right.
I think it would be fantastic if we could consolidate all that information on Alameda County website.
So, I mean, it does raise other concerns because we will be ahead on our posting of what that is before it gets put on the state site. And so then it will raise questions about.
You could put up disclaimers or, you know.
So, I mean, it's just something we have to evaluate. But we understand, and I really do believe, and Cynthia and I have talked about it, that this 100% precincts reporting, it meant something years ago. It doesn't mean, it's now becoming confusing. So so it's probably more we'll take it off the site and do something different.
All right. Well, I would welcome a motion. Oh, you have another discussion on it?
Yeah, I had a discussion on ranked choice voting. There was a suggestion there. Is that something that you're considering?
You're talking. This is the comment about
off of page 37.
Input.
Correct, about having something somewhere that the voter can see if they're going in person and voting on the touchscreen, what that ranked choice voting experience will look like for them. And we are discussing about how we can deal with that, whether that's in the voter information guide or whether that's some sort of aids at the actual vote center as they come to it, which explains for ranked choice voting. So that's still something we have to evaluate, but we understand the issue.
It's related to that too. So, because I usually just use the voting machine, and I don't have a picture of the physical ballot that was presented in the pamphlet in my head when I use it. I'm just following the directions on the machine. So, is the ranked choice voting the only piece that looks different, or do other parts of the ballot when it's on the display look different than what's on the in the pamphlet?
The display is different from the paper ballot, but it seems that the experience for ranked choice voting is the voting for a candidate in a regular race or voting yes or no on a particular seems to be pretty clear on the touchscreens. Whereas when you're voting on the touchscreen for ranked choice, it starts numbering as you touch the screen. Mm-hmm. And it, I'm speaking for Zavre, but I think reported that was confusing, and she needed to have some explanation of what that experience was for that particular, because it's more complicated. And so if we could provide some sort of aid, whether that's in the guide or whether it would be more impactful to have it really there at the screen while you're actually doing the work, we just have to figure out what would be the best way to give that explanation so it's not such a surprise.
Interesting, because if it's on the screen, it's gonna have to be on the machine for the audible, for people who are blind.
Right.
So, though not that they'd see it anyway, so I don't know how confused they would be, but you might want to talk to the accessibility community about that.
Sure. So when people are voting with ranked choice voting, they get a grid if they're voting using the card. So are you saying that with the electronic version, you press a name and it says number one and like moves it to the top? Is it something like that, Susan? Or you...
It's still a row. You see people listed with the columns and rows.
Oh, okay.
You just put your person one. It doesn't move them.
So is it the same as the ballot card then?
I said I didn't really look at the ballot card because
it's just a grid. It's like it has the names and a grid, one, two, three.
Not a grid on the screen. You have a straight list of the names.
Yes.
And then as you click a name, it says, now that was your number one choice. And you click the next one, that's your number two choice. Whereas the ballot, you know, you have it and you're going across. Yes.
It's very different than
the different experience.
The nice thing about it is that you can't click somebody again. It's a lot less error. It's more error proof.
I mean, it sounds like a good interface. It's just, you know, not that many people use the machines. And so all the instructions were showing the way that 95, 98% of people, you know, are voting. So I think we're good on this one.
The questions from last, I noticed in the minutes was, do you know what the error rate was for ranked? Was there like how many, what's the word for it when, you know, your ballot over, do you know that for the, you know, machine votes the same way you did for scan ballots?
I don't have it today.
I don't think it's possible to do an overvote on the electronics.
Right, or
you can't mark two people number one.
But then you don't have to mark everybody though. So do people not
undervote
10 or whatever it is, 5 or 10?
So that would be a different question. That would, you could call those undervotes. They're not illegal in RCV. Somebody can just vote for number one and then that's all they want. If they were tagged somehow as whether they were electronic or paper, then you could tell from the CVRs, but I don't think that's tagged. So I don't know how they would be able to tell. But I believe the overvote rate The overvote rate for the paper ballots was really good. It was right in line with the national average this time. It was great. But I would think, based on what they described, that the overvote rate for electronics for RCV would be zero.
But undervoting or whatever, or skipping
it could still be done, yeah.
Another nice thing about the machines is it tells you at the end that you might have missed something before you hit some, you know. It's like, oh, wait, you didn't vote. Did you mean not to vote?
Well, is anybody ready to make a motion regarding the report? Shall we send it on to the Board of Supervisors? Shall we accept, endorse it, and send it to the Board of Supervisors? Something different.
I so move that we accept the report and forward it to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
I second.
Just to clarify that website accessibility is not talking about disability access.
What change are you
proposing? She could just say website
navigation
or.
Well, we can just say that it's not evaluating under the ADA.
Yeah.
I would suggest that.
Or it's section 508 for the Fed, for them too, right? Your section 508.
What's the amendment?
Could be website user interface instead. Get rid of not say accessibility.
Okay. Would that be it? Just change accessibility to website user interface? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay.
And understandable to the public instead of accessible.
Okay. So Shahir, did you get that?
Yeah.
So accessibility changing to user interface and accessible on the second line would change to. Are there any objections to that? So is everybody good with this language right now? Okay. So the motion by Butter and seconded by Ramon is to accept and endorse, right? Accept and endorse this report and send it. And forward to the Board of Supervisors. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Chair, would you call the roll, please?
Sure. Commissioner Butter?
Yes.
Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Moore?
Yes.
Commissioner Ramon?
Yes.
Commissioner Wagner?
Yes.
President Lindsay?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. So the motion passes unanimously 6-0. And I will send it to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you to Commissioner Zabray, and I believe Dieter, for producing this. All right. So we're done with items. I don't think Zabray is coming today.
I think she's on her way.
Oh, she is on her way? Shall we just... What do you guys think? Shall we go back to 8A1, or shall we just go on to new business and keep moving forward as far as we can, or we go back to?
I think we just go on new business and go as far as we can. I think it's probably important that Commissioner Valentine be here.
Feels like that to me, too. Okay. So we'll proceed on. We're still deferring 8A1 as long as we can. So we're going to go on to 8B1, website reporting of election results. Background on this one is the 2024 post-election assessment listed improvements needed for reporting throughout the at-large election results and reporting of participation turnout per contest. Recommended action, endorse requested improvement and ask the ROV office to implement it in the election and or form an ad hoc committee or appoint a commissioner to work with staff on website changes. If that happens, if number two happens, Commissioner Dieter volunteers to serve in that capacity. So I wonder if Preston Jordan, I asked him if he could attend to talk about this. Preston Jordan?
Yes.
Without objection, I'd like to give him 2 or 3 minutes to talk about this. He's the one who came up with this, has been working. Objection. Preston, can you explain this in as understandable a way as possible?
Thank you all. First, to confirm, you can hear me.
Yes.
Great. Thank you for having me, Commission, Registrar, and staff. Yes, this is something I noticed about reporting over a decade ago. Specifically, the share of registered voters that actually cast a vote in each contest is not reported. You might think that that is what turnout represents, but turnout is actually the share of registered voters that turned in a ballot, whether it has a mark in one contest or a mark in all the contests. And so it is an upper threshold for top of ballot contests. It is likely a reasonable representation, although not everybody even marks the ballot at the top contest on the ballot. For contests further down the ballot, you get undervote, meaning, you know, people choose not to vote for a whole variety of reasons. And so we don't have a report on the website of what percentage of the voters actually participated in each of the contests, which is fairly fundamental information in a democracy in terms of indicating, you know, is there, for instance, a need for efforts to try to increase that or not? So that's the first item. I don't know if you want me to go on to the next one.
Before you go on to the next one, could you maybe give an example off the top of your head of the first one for those of
sure.
us? Example.
Yeah. So in the last election in Albany, which is where I live, the turnout was over 80%. But the share of registered voters in Albany that actually marked the ballot for the city council election was around 67%. So if you only know the turnout, then you might think, wow, that's really high. There probably isn't realistically that much room for improvement. But you have, you know, a not insubstantial share of voters who are actually bothering to turn in a ballot, but they're not marking it in the Albany City Council contest. And so there's an opportunity to perhaps improve that number from 67% towards something more like all the ballots that are turned in, or even taken in isolation, two-thirds of the registered voters participating in the contest indicates there may be some reasonable room for improvement. I expect that the difference is more dramatic in some of the contests, considerably more dramatic in some of the contests, but that is the example I can provide you at the moment.
Thank you. Okay, how about the second? Oh, go ahead.
When you said that, President, is it that only 67% of the registered voters marked the city council contest, or only 67% of the 80% that turned out?
Good question. It was 67% of the registered voters that marked the council contest. So whatever's, you know, so you'd have to do the math to figure out what percent of voters who turned in a ballot marked the ballot in the council contest.
Right. That's the number you want to know, really.
No, what I'm suggesting is reporting the percent of registered voters that actually vote in each contest, not the percent of ballots that are marked in each contest. But that could be a point of discussion for the commission. Maybe there's validity and value in doing both of those numbers. I think the number that is more akin to the turnout number, which is the percent of all registered voters, is probably more meaningful in terms of figuring out, you know, what is the headroom for increasing engagement or having a reasonable, meaningful metric of engagement in each contest.
Yeah. So this first one, voter participation, is really about, used to work on campaigns, about drop off rate, right? How many people drop off and don't vote on the down ballot things?
Well, so drop off rate would be what the other commissioner just mentioned, which is the percent of ballots that are turned in that either are or are not marked in a contest, as opposed to the percent of all registered voters that marked a contest. I didn't realize it was going to get so convoluted. So, I mean, I think for public reporting, it would make more sense to report the percent of all registered voters who marked a contest, not the percent of ballots that were marked in a contest.
Well, okay, let's move on to number two, plurality at large reports.
Good question.
Oh, I'm sorry, there is one more question.
Is that, I assume that data is available.
So, well, it's a matter of whether it's coming out of the system and or whether or not we have to programmatically come up with it on our own. So it's something that we would have to take a look at. As we just discussed, there are different ways of looking at these percentages. So I'm going to take a try. I think what Preston is saying is, let's say we have a city council race, which is some subset of the overall population of a city, you know, a city that's broken down by districts, that we would want to know what the turnout is of the potential voters for that district in that particular race. And you want to have it by race by race by race. So when we're looking at 200 plus races, we need to see if that's something that the system right now can give us a report that we could then easily feed to the website so that we have something coming out of a certified system, or would we have to ask our programming teams to derive it from something? And I would much prefer getting that data from a certified system that has already calculated it. So again, I understand what's being asked. It's a matter of how do we get there? And I don't know whether it comes out of the system.
Let's move on to the second one, plurality at-large reporting.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you. And in the letter I sent ahead of last meeting, I provided a list of contests, of governing boards, if you will, city councils, whatnot, that are elected by plurality at large. So just as a reminder, this is elections where more than one seat is filled at a time by plurality, and each voter can vote for a number of candidates up to the number of seats that are to be filled. So there were, I don't know, some 18 or so governing bodies that were elected by this method the last election. And what is currently reported is the percent of votes that each candidate receives, but not the percent of voters that support each candidate. So for a single seat race, those are equal. The percent of the vote that each candidate receives is the same as the percent of voters that support each candidate. But when each voter has more than one vote, and they may use all their votes, they only may use some of their votes, they may only use one of their vote, it is not reported what percent of the voters actually support each candidate. That is fairly basic information in a democracy to understand the share of the electorate that holds a particular perspective or supports a particular representative. And that's currently not reported. And so in order to report that, as a for instance, the number of votes received by each candidate would be divided by the number of ballots that have any mark in that contest, which could be computed from the CVRs.
People understand that? So let's say that there were 1,000 voters who vote for a city council, you know, Emeryville City Council or something. We can't tell how many people supported each candidate. It's not possible to tell that right now. It just says that of those 1,000 votes, what percent did each of them get? So if they're electing 3 people, you see these numbers, but you don't know how many of the actual voters supported each candidate. And so you can't really analyze participation in a quality at-large election very well because the data is just not there. You can get it from the CVR, as I imagine. Some third party chose to do an analysis like that. But
what would it take in order to report that information?
When I've been an election administrator for non-governmental groups, it was very, very easy. But this is not a non-governmental thing with 200 or 500 votes or something. This is a whole different ballgame. Thoughts on it? I mean, I think in terms of democracy, in terms of groups like League of Women Voters and Common Cause and others that work on democracy, it's extremely important information. Very useful also if you're working for a candidate or you are a candidate, you know what percent of the voters supported these candidates. So it's extremely useful in terms of how hard is it to do, can't really say.
I'm agreeing with that. Again, it's go back to my previous answer.
Yeah.
The safest thing is to see if we can get it in some sort of a report out of the existing system. And that's something we're going to have to research. And I don't know if you're going to bring it up, but one of the commissioners has volunteered to work with us on that. I can't say that we can easily do it today because I do the research. See if it's in the system. And if it's not, then what do we do? Where do we go from there? Do we go to our vendor and say, is this something you can, Alameda County, a special programming? I get concerned if we're doing something outside of the system, having our programmers here write something, especially when we're dealing with as many races and as many different permutations of these races that we might run into. I'd rather have the person who certified that system have that data given to us out of their system. That's my preference. But again, I just don't know how we get there. Right now, I don't know what's available.
That makes sense to me, and I understand the caution. The caution makes sense. Is, hey, the person who made the system, knows the system, certifies the system, works in a particular way, can tell me whether or not we can get this particular type of data out of the system, as it were, unedited. Or uninterpreted, just straight data. So glad that you guys are going to take a look at it. Thank you.
So, any other discussion? There's a couple of recommended actions here. Recommended actions were, number one, endorse the requested improvements and ask the ROV office to implement them in the next election. I see there's two of them. And or number two, form an ad hoc committee or appoint a commissioner to work with the staff on website changes, on these website changes, these reporting changes is probably a better way to say it. And if we choose to do or two, we could do one and two, we could do either of them, or we could do neither of them. Commissioner Dieter volunteers to serve in that capacity. Somebody willing to make a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion for option two and out of the two available options that we've discussed.
So is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. Discussion?
Yeah.
I have a question. So what's printed here is it says form an ad hoc committee or appoint a commissioner to work with staff on website changes. You want to be concrete and select one of those two?
We have a volunteer in Commissioner Dieter, and I'm sorry, she's not here to defend herself. So I would just make it super concrete and say, send Commissioner Dieter.
Right. So it'd be, we'd strike the form and ad hoc committee or part. So the motion is to appoint Commissioner Dieter to work with the staff on these changes.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Here, you got that or?
All set.
Okay. And it's made by Commissioner Ramon and still seconded by Commissioner Butter. Further discussion? Hearing none. Yes.
Commissioner Butter?
Yes.
Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Moore?
Yes.
Commissioner Ramon?
Yes.
Commissioner Valentine?
Yes.
Commissioner Wagner?
Yes.
President Lindsay?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. All right. Thank you very much. And glad you could make it. So great. Wow.
If that
Life happens.
I had a message from you saying it started at 7 and I never looked again, and I may have dreamed it, hallucinated. It's been one of those weeks, so.
I saw that.
Okay.
It started at 7?
There was something that said it started at 7, yeah. And so I double checked everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not. I was like, I know it's at 7, done. Sorry, excuse me.
So we're going to go back then. We've done, look at page 2 of the agenda. We left the main item, the report, till you got here, and we did 2, 3, 4 and new business number 1. Okay, so without objection, we're going to go back to 8A1 now that Zabri is here. There's no objection, so we're going to go back to that. So this is the top part is what we already did. The two remaining issues need to be resolved with regard to the committee's report. A, decide whether to also recommend that the Election Center collaborate with the ROV office practices, efficiency, and other improvements that the ROV office could implement. And B, decide whether or not to send the committee's report to the Board of Supervisors. There's various options there. It's all in the agenda on page 2 under 8A1. I think we should leave with you, Laura, if you're okay with that.
Sure. Thank you. I'm sure everyone would like to sort of expedite this conversation perhaps today as possible, but and I agree. So just to sort of summarize my understanding of where we are, we brought this up in February. We wanted, the one thing that we had not done when we presented the report initially was hear from the Registrar of Voters office, which we wanted to do, understanding that the registrar is very busy. We agreed to come back in May. The registrar's office had not had time yet to review it. You guys had a special election and a few other things to completely understand. There was a testimony given at the meeting that was pretty extensive. And we would like to get in writing when you can, and we understand that will come when you can get to it. I would highlight from your testimony, if you understand this differently, but I think we heard that you were you had concerns with the first recommendation, but were supportive of the second and third recommendations. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So support, issues with one, but comfortable with 2 and 3. We had a robust conversation about the first one, which had to do with how to handle the role of the Registrar of Voters. To clarify a point that was made, there was a discussion, the term bifurcation was used as though we would be splitting that role in half. That's not the idea. The idea is that in 2009, basically an independent Registrar of Voters role was eliminated because of a budget cut or a budget shortfall, and the chief information officer was given those responsibilities as well. And since in the years that have passed since, the process of running elections in Alameda County has become more and more and more complicated and difficult to manage. And so the recommendation is to look at reintroducing a separate independent registrar of voters in addition to the chief information officer, two separate roles, which obviously would have budget implications for the Board of Supervisors. That's their job to figure out what their priorities are going to be with never enough money, like every other county, our nation, and so on. Not an unusual problem to have. So today,
Are you saying, so what's in the agenda is actually misstated?
Well, I don't, I think
it should say reintroducing a standalone ROV position.
No. So in summary,
okay.
I was just clarifying what, that the recommendation was not a bifurcation of the existing role, because I think there were concerns associated with that interpretation. I just wanted to clarify that. So moving on from that, because there was obviously a substitute motion made which I believe passed for the first recommendation, right? So also in that meeting, the committee was asked to make a number of amendments. We have made them all, as far as I know, and Irene emailed me afterward with her list. I added a reference to the grand jury's report, and I updated the recommendations to reflect the discussion that we had in case the group, so that we've got sort of clean recommendations. They're attached, they're in this material, I think, in case that's useful, just so people don't have to sort of flip around, everything's in one place. So we've got like clean recommendations that reflect that, that conversation. In conclusion, what I would propose we consider is that if we can agree and pass the recommendations, if people are comfortable with them, to submit the report with the recommendations, with the revised language, to the Board of Supervisors, recognizing that we're still waiting on the written statement from the ROV. We will say that and welcome it when it is available. So that sort of gets us there and allows us to keep this moving, because it's been over a year since we formed this ad hoc committee. So that sounds, I'll turn it back over to you, Jim.
Okay, discussion?
So the one thing that I brought up last time is still in the report, the
which
additionally the ROV often.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. For everybody, it's in the agenda packet. It starts on page 13 and it goes until page 33. So can you tell us like what page your thing is on, Susan?
On page, I just highlighted it. So when I find my highlighting, page 27, the top of page 27. The part that says additionally the ROV office shows a pattern of
first paragraph, okay.
Not bound by the state and related laws, and it includes RBS is merely following the advice of the county's legal counsel. We recommend that the boss examine why county legal counsel advice repeatedly diverges from many
for
counties in the state with regard to compliance with these laws. I prefer that whole paragraph being stuck.
Hang on, let me just try to.
And I know Irene brought it up last night too.
Yeah, because
I agree with that also. That's paragraph, it's top paragraph on page 27.
No, I'm trying to find the old version.
Oh.
Recommendation.
I think it said the same thing.
Another. What are the words?
Additionally, the ROV office.
So the previous words were, additionally, the ROV office does not seem to feel bound by state and city laws that should be shaping its practices. So it's been changed to, the ROV office shows a pattern of concluding the office is not bound by. I would ask, so I took out the does not seem to feel bound by and changed it to shows a pattern of, which is, so I would invite the, we have representatives from voting rights groups here today. I would invite them to comment on this. This is, look, we can change whatever you want, but this is a technical description of the testimony and written description of people's experience we have. It's not speculative. It's not rumor. It's a factual description of what we got. If you guys want to take it out, we can take it out. I think it's more important to get to move this along, and we can let the facts speak for themselves. They are also in this report. So if you want to take that out, we can, but I did change the language.
Alex? So on this particular paragraph, reads to me as a legal conclusion. And so what I would prefer then is for us just to list the facts that have been observed and testified to and allow the Board of Supervisors to observe those facts and what those deficiencies mean. Because without seeing a specific statute, I'm just a little cautious to, you know, all lawyers are cautious to issue what's called an opinion letter because it essentially acts as a statute of insurance. And this, I would just rather have a list of facts. Hey, and it's more about us raising the bar above the floor of what the law sets in terms of customer service, right? We know what the election law says. We know what our bare minimum requirements are. Our goal is to do a little bit better than that. So to me, because this is like more of a legal opinion, I would ask that we take this out.
So on page 22, number two, it says the report says the ROV office has a record of not complying with various city and state election laws and appears to provide little to no public explanation for these decisions when they occur. A, California law as noted on pages 6 and 7 requires facsimile ballots to be visibly posted in all in-person voting locations. The Alameda County ROV office has repeatedly failed to ensure poll workers post these reference documents. B, I won't keep reading, but the list is here. A, so, B, C, and D.
But the words is not bound by state. That seems to suggest a flouting of the law when it could be oversight, mistake, which many of these things are.
I'm happy to take it out. Totally happy to. I was simply responding to Alex to say there is a list in this document. There is nothing said in here that is not supported in the document elsewhere and in the material that is included in the appendices, just for clarification. And I'm happy to take it out because the information is here. Totally fine.
Does anybody object to this paragraph being taken out? Objection. So paragraph on the top of page 27 would be removed. I have a number of areas I'm concerned about, which I did not get to in writing beforehand, and I'm sorry about that. I just got to them. But I don't know if anybody else has any particular ones. That was one of them.
So in addition to the conversation we had last month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said at that time I have a number, and you said, let's see if we can get an amended out. So one of them happened to be the one that you were just referring to, page 22, number two, near the bottom. I have problems with 3 out of 4 of these. So the major problem writ large is that, to my knowledge, when it's been tested in court, no election law violation has been shown. Can anybody tell me that that's incorrect? Didn't think it was.
On the fly?
Yeah.
Oh, like fine. Right now?
I've mentioned it before also, by the way. I've made that statement before also. So there's been lots of allegations of intentionally in breaking the law or ignoring the law. But when it comes to a court case, it's never actually been, but they've never been found guilty of it. So it seems like if we're going to be fair and accurate, most we could say that there are lots of allegations. That's the most we can say that's fair and accurate.
I'm not sure. I don't know that that's true. And when I say that, I really mean I don't know.
Yeah, I heard it.
We don't know means we don't know. And I don't want to assume that it's not, the statement you just made is true, because I think,
with one exception, was a settlement was reached. They never presumably didn't admit many, many years ago, 15 years ago or something, about ADA compliance.
I also say it doesn't it is not necessary for, I would argue that it's not necessary for a an action or behavior or practice to have been brought before a judge in a court of law and a verdict to have been made. In order to, you know, to know that something that happened is not in compliance with the law is in English. You can read it. It's logical. It usually serves a purpose that people understand. If it doesn't, it should be thrown out. And you know whether an entity has like has complied with that thing or not in many cases. Whether someone takes it to court or not is a whole other issue.
This is a verdict. This is saying they are guilty of doing these things.
Okay. So
on item A, I don't know that that's true. California law, as noted on pages 6 and 7, requires for assembly ballot to be visibly posted in all in-person voting locations. The Alameda County ROV office has repeatedly failed to ensure poll workers post these reference documents.
Well, I think that has been reported to us, I believe, by the Asian Law Caucus, maybe the League of Women Voters, maybe California Common Cause, maybe not the League of Women Voters, but someone who's spent a little bit of time on the League of Women Voters clock is familiar with it. Because she's right there and she's nodding.
Last time that you saw that, Ellen, or
the Asian Law Caucus is the group that does the audits, and
it's in the material that is in the appendices of this report.
I've done the observation.
Yeah, it's clearly
one of their observers.
You want us to address that issue?
Sure.
Why don't you address it?
Well, the last time that came up was during COVID. And what we thought to be a valid was during COVID, we had plexiglass stands over the election board's tables. And we thought the best way to address it, so when voters come in, we posted the facsimile board ballots there. And since then, we have now, since we don't have the plexiglass anymore, they are well posted on the VIC, which is the Voter Information Center. And since then, it has not been reported by the AAAJ that we are in non-compliance with that.
Which is
the fix of
which is how many elections? I mean,
well, 2020.
Which is great. And that is important. Remedying these situations is, at the end of the day, is like, that is very important. Absolutely. And thank you. It is a separate issue from, and I clarified this in the report as well, from, how about this? Let me, Jim. So just, I'm going to stop right now. Okay. I was asked to be on this committee. Okay. The committee was the first thing that this commission did. One could argue it is the reason this commission was formed, or a large part of it. And so I tried to responsibly and in good faith do what the committee was asked to do under a certain amount of duress, frankly. And we were extremely careful to only reflect information in this that had been reported to us by firsthand observers. That's the best I can do. And we also spent a lot of time trying to understand the pressure that Alameda County is under. And a lot of this report is describing that you guys face, you're a large county, you have very complex elections, you have no downtime, there's no off season. That is all in this. We're very clear that this, from all of the information that we were able to conclude and we were also clear about this, an all volunteer unpaid group that's like squeezing this in around our day jobs. But from everything that we could see, it was a clear capacity issue. And in a lot of cases, an issue of, for whatever reason, insufficient public communication, often so that people knew the good work that you were doing. They don't know. We went to great lengths to make those points in this report. It's been available to this commission since February, and actually to some members before February. And I'm still getting things now in this meeting that you that people want changed. Okay. All right. But I'll just let that statement stand. So I don't know how serious we are about this or not. Maybe this group has lost its appetite for this. That is possible. If that's true, say so. And let's be done. If we're still serious about this, let's wrap it up. We've got one more month before the August break, and let's get it to the Board of Supervisors. But if you guys are just, if this is a stall, stop. Let's say so. Be honest.
Who here is stalling and lying? Just out of curiosity.
What did you just say?
So just
what did you just say? Did you say stalling and lying? Who said anything about lying?
You just did. Be honest, he said. If you're stalling, be honest. So let's try to get the tone down a little bit, right? So I think that maybe the item A could be up. It implies that it's still happening. I read this. The Alameda County ROV office has repeatedly failed to ensure poll workers post these reference documents. When I read that, it says to me that that's still a problem. So, and the last time was a long time ago. So maybe
it's not the point. It's not about remedies.
Okay, so it's
a compilation.
Please don't interrupt. Please don't interrupt. So when something like this is said, the implication is it's still happening. That implication is not correct. It's not fair. And it could be fixed with one sentence,
right?
In italics or something underneath. On 2B, as far as I know, and I'd like to hear from the registrar's office on this, the language, the LAC is holding meetings quite regularly, and so is the VAC, although that's been like the last year, and we could say that, right? So is that correct or incorrect? And when is the LAC holding meetings regularly and the VAC as required by law and recommended, blah, blah, blah. So or not? The answer is yes. And since when has that been the case?
I don't know. It's been a few election cycles, at least. Yeah.
I've attended three local Alameda LAC calls, and I think two of the instances we had very short notice of the announcement of the LAC meeting.
Oh, like how short?
Maybe I want to say it felt like a day, but it might have been a couple of days.
That did happen one time. I have one of the coordinators here. So it happened one time since they've been conducting those meetings for the Spanish group.
Yeah, well, we're happy that the LAC has started to be reconvened, and we're excited that there are opportunities for the community. I think it had been a while since those calls had happened, so we welcome it.
On item C, I think is fair. I got no problem with it. It should be clarified, though, that I think, and Jason, maybe you can talk to this or not, that when a city passes a law, that the registrar of voters is not actually required to implement it. Because the city contracts with the registrar of voters, if the city is unhappy with what the registrar of voters is doing, then they can simply run their own elections. Now, that's not a great option for them. Very few cities want to do that, at least in Northern California. But I don't think the law requires that any election law that a city makes must be advised of its fellow voters. Jason, am I correct or incorrect on that?
That's largely right. I think also here, perhaps more importantly, that charter amendments in Oakland and Berkeley, before the RV could do anything, they require cities of Oakland and Berkeley to take certain actions. So those actions had to go forward at the city level before the ROV could do anything.
I still think it's fair. I think item C is fair, correct factual statement. I don't think it would, that should be under an area where it says not complying with law, because they at least complied with state law in that case. And then D, oh, no, no, C and D. Okay, that was C and D, sort of. I conflated C and D. Or maybe D, questions repeatedly arise regarding questionable compliance with orders or action. C and D are similar. Is that correct? Maybe my comment applies to both C and D. I don't know.
So the D is about the compliance with the charters specifically. And C is about the, you know, measure Y.
So implementation, right?
Correct.
So C and D, C and D are kind of...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I am, so I may I just say really quickly, I apologize to the commission. I'm sorry. This is like, it's frustrating.
You worked so hard on this. Yes.
I should not, I absolutely went too far. And if I could like press rewind and erase, I would. I apologize. I apologize to you, Jim, and to the Registrar of Voter staff as well.
I just want to say, yeah. I felt exactly the same way when I was working. You know, it just kept going on and on. So
thank you.
I mean, you've done a fantastic job. Yes. This is just to make sure that we're comfortable sending it on.
Thank you. And I want it to be fair. So, and I want it to be accurate. So I want to get these edits.
Yeah. So the, this point, like last month, I did not want to send it, period. But I think this current version is significantly better. And I think with just the change that we talked about, we already made on page 17, 127. And then I think that these items here, I think A and B, you know, I think with small changes, they could just largely stay in. We need to remove people thinking that this is saying it's still happening.
Got it. Okay.
And C and D, some, just a sentence in there saying something to the effect that that notices that registrars of voters do not legally have to comply with city charters. They're just not legally required to do that. Let's see, I'm just trying to get through because most of my stuff is pretty small. So I'm on page 17, there's a footnote 12. And I would just like to ask that that be moved to the top of that section instead of being buried as a footnote.
On page 17, which footnote?
Page 17, footnote 12, where it says, while efforts made to remedy the problems herein are important, I would like to be that right at the top. List, if that's okay.
Oh, got it. Okay.
With a comment also that many of these have been fixed or
got it.
Or are controversial or something like that.
Yeah.
Work is underway or have been fixed, some of them for years. Some of them are disputed. But with that, other than that, then I'd be very comfortable with all that.
Happily.
Okay, great.
You're gonna mess up the formatting, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm really sorry I didn't and Zabre, really sorry I didn't get this stuff to you before.
Thank you.
So on page 21, where it said under issues spanning multiple years, number one, where it says in some cases maybe in violation of laws, I'd like it to say instead. And in some cases, maybe alleged violations of the law. None of these allegations have been upheld in court.
Okay,
may, something like that.
That's what may means, but okay, I'll take another swing at it.
Okay, thanks. And then last one I have is on page 23, item B. All the way at the bottom. And all I did was write down that I was concerned with it. I didn't. Just give me a sec, please. I think I was getting exhausted at that point. So another example is a decision against code.
There's a typo. The ballots are all male as opposed to female. I'll fix that.
I missed that. I know what it was. It was the...
I think you should leave it in.
Should just really test whether or not someone actually read it. Totally.
A little Easter egg.
So on page, it's actually, if you turn to the next page as part of this whole section, it's a paragraph that says, nonetheless, the ROV has not opted to comply.
Yeah.
And has given no, provided the public no explanation for declining.
I can change that language.
I'm not sure how to change it, but I'm mighty uncomfortable.
I'll change it. I'll check with you. I'll run something else by you. You know what you're getting at.
If that's approved, because what we could do, I don't know if anybody else has suggested changes, but it could be that you and I get appointed to a little ad hoc committee to finalize this and send it off. And then we could have it done in a week.
I think that's the way to go. Okay. We need to get it off.
So on back on page 22 on that, we wanted things to be factual, but really time during the pandemic, Asian Law Caucus. We said, so this year has repeatedly failed to ensure public publicly private documentation.
I'm sure they observe repeated by election.
How many ballots have not been?
It's very common practice in our election protection program to communicate directly with the registrar office when there are issues, to resolve those issues. Thus, you don't see a trail of lawsuits because as they are coming up. And I'm sure the registrar voters have communications with the Asian Law Caucus as things are unfolding.
You just said 2020.
2020 is when we move.
But it had been,
I can remember two election cycles. Not so much that they want posted, it's that they want posted in a way. So we changed the whole process of that.
Oh, cool. I want to say that League of Women Voters, Common Cause, and AAAJ to me are have the utmost respect for all of them. They are fantastic groups. And if they say repeated, I'm going to say, okay. But repeat, they just said, Helen just said that. Yeah. And Pedro has backed her up. But repeated can be two or three times.
Was it the display, or was it that they didn't display them at all?
The two times that I observed were not displayed until we asked about them.
Ah,
oh, that's different.
Yes, but so at any rate,
display. Yeah. And then when we asked where they were, they appeared.
They brought them out.
Yeah. So some poll workers or something didn't bring them out, but they needed to bring them out. Yeah. Okay. At any rate, I also don't like the part that they've repeatedly violated the law, at least at this. But we talked about adding in a sentence or something and clarify that. And I do think that there was more than, I think there was no, I if I may speak for the AAAJ, which is absurd, that their experience was that their voters, their community, couldn't effectively use those facsimile ballots, which, while it may have been technically in compliance with the law, it was unintentionally not. And I do think that that needed to be fixed, and you fixed it now.
Still got to report it, right? Like, I mean, we still
I don't have a problem with this being in the clarification that the last time was, you know, 2020, and it's fixed now, like that. That's all. And then whether or not it's under a section that says not complying with law, we can figure it out.
I'll adjust that. Yeah. And I this is a representation of what was reported to us by the groups. Yeah. And this is why we invited you, and we're serious, you know, and it's going to happen for you to respond and share your perspective, which is legitimate. And we need it in writing so that people can see it and appreciate it. And then the Board of Supervisors can decide what to do with that. You know, they'll have your perspective. They'll have the perspective of AAAJ, the League Common Cause, ATACA, also a group that's been very, very diligent and supportive throughout this process. And it's their job to figure out how to move forward.
So I think we might have action to take, or
yeah, so kind
of somebody else was trying to say something and I actually interrupted.
My only point was, you know, for those items under 2A, B, C, and D that we're talking about, Aubrey, I get your frustration.
I've calmed down.
I know. it definitely scared the students out of me. Oh, damn it. But you know, the point always to me is the way that I try to approach, I just let the facts speak for themselves. And I identify the people that are claiming that these are facts. And that way, the Board of Supervisors can then discern, okay, here's the source of this is the information we're being told, this is the source of the information, and then ask for clarification from the ROV. Because we just got clarification that we're talking about two different instances, essentially, where they were talking about a different display of these reference documents and a situation where they weren't displayed at all. So that brings up a concern, because Alameda County is just so big and it is so complex. It's very easy for us to be talking past each other. And that's not effective for the voters or anybody else. So, I think the report needs to be sent on. I think it needs a response, because that response is going to, you know, illuminate for us what, if any, holes we have in our swing. So I'm good with it. I just hate when I make the conclusion that this person violated the law. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm not a judge. I don't wear a black robe. But with an ad hoc committee finalizing this, I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah, and we're like lay people writing this. I'm not an attorney. I mean, I think some of this is language that we didn't intend. You know, I totally agree with you in terms of letting the facts speak for themselves and like get out of the way.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we tried to do, which is why we've got all the appendices of all of our source correspondence and everything, and the list. That's why this is basically a really long list. That's what we were trying to do. But happy to, they're all great. This is great feedback, and happy to make these adjustments.
Can you say any thoughts from in representation of the city clerks with regard to this?
Given the fact that I was just here recently and I was reading this last night, I don't have much comments per se. The only thing that I would like to suggest is that if you were planning to do the ad hoc, I would like to also participate in that too, if that wasn't something that is possible to do.
I believe that's entirely legal.
Yes, because as far as I know, the quorum, we're just three still below before the well, below the quorum, so that the ad hoc can still be doable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we need, so we already, there isn't a standing, they're not standing, but an ad hoc committee, I think we're talking about forming and which would be necessary, which I think is, this purpose is totally fine.
And it'll be limited in scope for just to finalize this letter, correct?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And the commission would be authorizing us to then send it to the Board of Supervisors as soon as the ad hoc committee agrees on the adjustments.
Okay, so yes, so like if that's possible, if I could participate in the ad hoc with regards to finalizing this letter itself.
Great. Yeah. Karen, do you want to, Karen or yeah. Alex seem to be ready to make a motion if I'm reading the room right?
Hang on. Yeah. I move that commission authorize nation of an ad hoc committee to finalize the report and send it on to the Board of Supervisors. The ad hoc committee will consist of Commissioner Valentine,
Tam,
Commissioner Pam, and Commissioner Lindsay.
Is that the way it's report pronounced, by the way?
And it's fine.
Okay.
That send the report as soon as possible.
Second. Point of clarification. So we're going to have two ad hoc committees on the same report?
No.
So maybe we need to dissolve the other one?
Ad hoc committee.
I know, but this is for the special purpose of finalizing this report and sending it on. It's distinct. It's not doing any new investigation. It's not doing any of that.
No, he's just saying, but maybe the motion should also say that we're dissolving the old.
I also move that we dissolve ad hoc committee.
Is that what you meant? That's a good point.
I'll second.
So the motion is to dissolve the former ad hoc committee on this subject to form a new one, consisting of Commissioners Valentine, Lee, and Pham. It was to send it on as soon as possible and send to the Board of Supervisors as soon as possible. The discussion has been moved and seconded by Commissioners Butter and Ramon, respectively. Discussion on this item? No discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Wait.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, would we get a red line version? So we know what to change.
Yeah.
Happy to.
Yeah. Well, let's send.
Sure.
I'd like to get it to him even before we send it to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
Give him 24, 48 hours, 72 hours. You guys okay with that?
That's fine.
So would 72 hours be all right? We finalize it, we send it to him 72 hours, three business days anyway. We send it to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good point. Did you catch that last piece you hear?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other suggestions, comments? None? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to, your Valentine,
Yeah. Very much. And everyone at different times over the last year, everyone here has made very significant contributions to the discussion and analysis, and Pedro and Helen and many other people contributed to this. So thank you to all.
Great.
But yeah, and again, Ataka, who also gave us a lot of really useful input. I want to acknowledge that. Any idea what supervisor's timeline?
So we're sending it to them, and getting stuff agendized is a whole different ballgame. And have learned over the last year and a half some various ways you can get things agendized. But right now it's our job to send it to them. An oversight body and an advisory body. And this is both things.
We monitor that so we see what they...
I always monitor that stuff. Irene does, and
I plan to.
And often whoever is the chair of the committee that's proposing something will do that too. But it can be getting stuff on board of supervisors, even a city council agenda is very, very hard. All supervisors, it's quite astonishing. So
your budget things and the budget's already.
Yeah.
Again, a question. The commission made a decision on one of the recommendations.
We haven't voted on this, but we're not done yet. Go ahead, yeah.
For consideration, are you going to change one of those recommendations in the report to match the decision you made?
She already did, I think.
Right?
Yeah, when I reread it.
Yeah, this reflects the motion that was passed.
Yeah, the it's page 33.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it says that the committee recommends the Board of Supervisors take necessary steps within the next 12 months to implement the following. And the one that we changed was A, reconsider the scope of the ROV leadership duties, engage the election center or another similarly qualified organization to assess the advantages and disadvantages of the following options and advise the Board of Supervisors on appropriate action in the best interest of Alameda County voters. And one and the two. Yes.
I don't see what's in this report matching last time. The key difference seems to be that the report continues to mention pairing the ROV responsibilities with a second set of duties. Because I believe what we passed last time does not have any mention.
My understanding was that, and I think I used language that I got in an email on your motion. Right? That's what I was trying to do. I mean, that's what I used. But rather than simply asking the Board of Supervisors to pick between one and two, we asked instead the election center or another similarly qualified organization to assess what was the right thing to do and make a recommendation. That was my understanding. That was what I got.
My memory was that the engage the election center or other qualified organization to assess the advantages and just bifurcating the current ROVIT position and having a dedicated registrar of voters. It's my memory. That's also what we have in the agenda. But since the election center, I'm not going to die on this hill, but since the election center is going to be making an analysis and a suggestion, do whatever they make, whatever suggestion they want. Right. David, I saw it looked like you had something to say.
So I will mention again, I checked the text of the motion and I checked the report. They don't match because the report mentions this alternative possibility of pairing the ROV responsibility set of duties, whereas the motion we voted on last month did not make mention of that, referred solely to bifurcating the department and hiring a dedicated committee. So consider that acceptable because this is about asking the election center to consider something, but it's a there's a difference.
Recommend, yeah. It's yeah. So I asked someone for your motion and I typed what I got. So if it's not correct, then let's fix it. It should be what I mean. It passed, so that's what it should be.
So, David, are you uncomfortable? Let me just say, leaving off the issue of whether or not it's the same. Just a moment. Okay. Do you oppose the option A2?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. That's totally cool.
But so I also don't like the idea very much, by the way. But in this case, it's different. We're not recommending a specific action to the Board of Supervisors. We're saying election center or equivalent. Election center, please consider what we should do here, right? Provide them a range of options, right? So while I prefer that A2 not be there, I don't think it's a big deal. And I'm okay with it.
Absolutely. Because it would add cost, and that's not one of the recommendations we are making.
Okay.
Instead, it's on in the minute.
All right. So then what? Let's strike it. Strike number two.
I mean, I don't think anyone's defending it.
Okay. So we're going to strike number two. We'll work that out in the committee. We need to fix a couple of words and stuff to make it work, but strike number two.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. Nobody objects to that. Okay. Thank you for that. And any other changes before we vote on this? Okay. And this is part B of the, well, do we need to look at part A also before we vote? Or
leaving part A.
So in the agenda, it says there's two remaining issues.
Got it.
We never specifically said that we recommend that the Election Center collaborate with the ROV office to look at best practices, efficiency, and other improvements that the ROV office could implement. We only said, look at bifurcating the position or being a standalone position. So this is a little bit of just I think we intended to do both, but we didn't.
Well, and the one thing that I think may have gotten lost in the discussion last week, I could be wrong, is that the registrar expressed support for the second two items. The issue was with number one, which we.
So what I'm suggesting is that we also add A in as a recommendation if it's not already there. No, that's item C, actually.
Exactly.
Item
that's
C
right there.
Oh, item C covers A.
Yes.
So if we approve this, we're de facto doing that. Okay, fantastic. So if there are no more suggestions for changes, we can call the roll.
Can you send them the red line? We get the red line, or is that a no-no?
I don't know why not.
Oh, so I guess if people agreed, it could go to the EOC under confidentiality for 72 hours. Okay. Let them just have it and work on it and be prepared for when it hits the news. Okay. So, right.
I can't not facts.
Yeah. So if everybody, we can do that if everybody agrees to keep it confidential for 3 days.
Now distributing documents to the entire commission.
I guess somebody could PRA that, Records Act.
Right, but also.
You're only making it better.
So if people don't mind, it just means you'd get it when the Board of Supervisors got it.
Right, that's it.
Okay. All right, let's just do that. Because somebody could submit a Public Records Act if it was sent to the Elections Commission. They could anyway, but they're going to get it in 3 days. They'll get it quicker than they would by just asking for it. So, you know. So, okay. Anything else?
Something?
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Just to clarify, is Commissioner Moore...
She looks like she wasn't feeling well.
We'll take a vote, and I'm pretty sure it won't make a difference. If it is, we'll...
Commissioner Butter?
Yes.
Commissioner Henderson? Commissioner Ramon?
Yes.
Commissioner Valentine?
Yes.
Commissioner Wagner?
No.
President Lindsay?
Yes. And, as I often like to, would you just tell us what your thinking was there? If you're willing.
I felt uncomfortable personally endorsing a number of the statements and felt that the edits that were substantial to be done in this time period.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's always useful to have the dissenting understanding of the dissent. Okay. So the motion passes 5-1. Opposed by Commissioner Wagner, and with one member not present. So time check at 6 o'clock. We actually only have one item left, I believe, outside of public comment, which is, well, we have the special report from the ROV. But item two is listed. So this is on page 3 of your packet. And it's the issue of the speed of calling elections. So this is item 8B2. I seem to have lost a page here somehow. Oh, here we go. 8B2, speed of tallying elections. So the background on this is that the registrar's office is getting a tremendous amount of anger and criticism regarding the speed of tallying elections. So whether or not we think that those criticisms and are valid, I think the department needs to address it somehow, leaving out whether or not they're valid, because people are really angry about it. So the recommended action here is that we ask for a report from staff at the July meeting as to options to improve the speed of election, improve communications and expectations regarding speed of tallying. So that's this item and the recommendation. So I'd like, and Ty, I'm going to start calling on you more affirmatively because it's hard for me to see if you want to talk or not. Set up. So be prepared.
Will do.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just, to add to that, I would just like to hear if there are a list of any impediments to doing it any quicker than it's already done and what those impediments are. So I just want to know what's getting in the way, if anything is.
Other discussion, suggestions?
Yes. I support this, and I think there might be one more option that could look at for improving the public perception around how fast the count is, which is considering more frequent reporting. I just don't have a sense of how that, the cost of that might compare to the cost of other options. So,
okay. So without objection, then it would be, we're asking for a report from staff at the July meeting. Well, somebody's gonna have to make the motion, but is anybody prepared to make the motion? Two things are added onto what's written on there is specify impediments and to explicitly consider more frequent. Okay. Anybody prepared to make a motion?
I'll move.
All right.
We're asking the registrar of voters to, is that a report or remarks at the July meeting? Is that right? Explaining the impediments that you face to using election results in a faster timetable, and to also consider address whether it's possible to increase the frequency of your report.
I would ask if we can also say, and other options to improve the speed of election count.
Right. Well, the
for instance, they talked about building another, using another building.
Well, there are two issues, right? I mean, one is about getting them to the results sooner. Like, what are the things that are slowing you down so we can understand them and consider whether there's any way to remove some of those obstacles. And the other issue is whether it's possible to increase your frequency of reporting. There's at least more transparency for the public into process. Right, separate types of interventions.
We're going to report from staff on this issue. Yes.
Okay. That was the worst motion ever. It ceased to be a motion in the.
How about we just say staff will give us a report on this issue in July?
Yes.
Okay. And you know what we want.
Right? A presentation, basically.
Pretty much that probably would be, maybe we'd do the special report earlier and it would be that.
We had talked about more of an informative report from us so that you understood process we're going through, what more frequent updates, and if we were to go that direction. Talked in the last presentation about some of our timetable that we have to abide by. So in terms of, say, speed, I think we need to understand what speed equals.
All right, let me clarify. People want the election to be callable early, and they want to know, they want to see more frequent updates as they're going along. That's how I read the community. I don't think they're too concerned about the certification that happens 3 weeks later or whatever. They barely notice unless they read the newspaper, and I think I'm the only one of three people who read the newspaper still. So it's really about how quickly can an election be called. And you talked at one time about doubling the speed by adding another building in. Things like that. What would be some of the options? What are the impediments? Specifically, could we get more frequent updates? That sort of thing, I think, is what people are looking for. I don't think they're worried about their stuff.
Okay, well, we can talk about that. Okay. It's an interest, and I think some of your comments are why we have to have that conversation.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, there were at least two very tight races that needed us to certify for it then to be all. So anyway, I think that's the education piece that you always talk about, and that's what I was proposing. Start with the education piece. Maybe we can touch on some of these topics, but I think once you see the education, it's going to end up being a much deeper conversation about cause and effect and what we want to do. May go beyond, would be a good start, having a baseline of what you think.
Good.
I trust your judgment about what would be the best way to move this discussion forward. I'll share in advance that I think it's likely I'll be disappointed, primarily in an explanation about how things currently work. It's hard, and I would be more excited about if you could think about if we were to increase the speed of counting and reporting, what are the options for how to do that? We could do it by hiring more temp workers, or we could do it by reporting every day, or we could, you know, whatever those options A, B, C, D are, and it would have this cost and this disadvantage if I did this, and this cost and this disadvantage if I did that. Maybe we need to understand all the details, the informative piece as well, to understand those options. But I just want to put out there in advance that if this is solely informative, here's how our processes currently work. And there may be a sense that we haven't yet got to where I would hope. Yeah, that's just information for you to take into account as you think about what to plan for next month.
I appreciate the comment.
And I feel the same way. Like, I'm kind of interested in possible solutions. 1 month for an operation of this size and complexity is insufficient for you to be able to, you know, give us a list of options and exactly how much they would cost and exactly when you could get them. But you could take a stab at it, you know, and give a range or something. But I think people right now are feeling more solutions oriented as opposed to the why of it. But like you said, the why of it might be part of those solutions. I saw three people raise their head, nod their heads. And if I wasn't nodding my head, I meant to. Ty, I warned you. Your thoughts on this issue?
I don't have any comments at this time. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll fully agree, and that it's addressed the features that slow the process down and how they could potentially be remedied or influenced. Specifically, please don't hesitate to describe the impact of all mail voting. But my understanding is from conversations that we've had in the past that has played a role. So talk to us about that. Well, how it's changed the process for you, steps that are required, and the time that it accompanies that.
Okay, should be easy, right? You have it done tomorrow.
Fly realistic.
And we'll. I think it's something that we can take a cut at.
Right.
I understand we want to get to solutions, and we'd love to have solutions. My presentation, I feel like it's probably going to be
dialogue that may have to go on beyond.
That's fine, but if you could take a cut at it with some possible potential solutions, I think that,
for example, the November election is when we had a one-time legal requirement to certify.
There was a statute passed in the last election that required waiting until I think the 29th day after the election, not in California, in November 2024, certify more than that.
I don't think anybody in the community is too worried about certification, albeit when it's super tight, because that's the same thing. I think they really, imagine candidates are really interested voters, and it's a week after the election. They don't see anything updated, and they just get mad. That's what we're talking about. It's not stuff.
The one thing, there's two different things. It's like updates and calling.
Yeah.
And you guys don't really call.
No, they don't.
Right? It's the press that does.
Yeah.
And the press candidates, they declare themselves a winner, but equally doesn't.
But in the last time, after you did like that second Friday release, everybody knew who won the election.
Right.
That's what they're looking for. They're looking for updates on the way because, frankly, I don't agree with any of this. I'm fine with the speed you're going, but you didn't hammer them. So people are unhappy, and there are clientele, as it were, and the clients are unhappy. So let's see if we can do something to make them happier.
I can't believe it out there.
Yeah.
Certification came into play in the last election because it had to do with when mayor brought in office, and there was plenty of pressure on my office. Certification doesn't come into play.
Okay. I just meant in the speed of telling elections where people are mostly complaining about.
I guess I'm putting it out there because this question has many dimensions to it, and each election has a different flavor you're talking about and a different complaint.
Okay.
So why, through my lens, there are not one or two issues in the question that you're asking, and that's why I want to have a chance to put it out there. And I will give some hypothetical solutions, or at least some for us to discuss, but there will be cause and effect to those kinds of decisions.
Awesome. I'm looking at the timing here. If it's okay, can somebody make a motion? Or you made a motion. Can you restate it? Yeah. What's the current motion?
We would like to ask the ROV to present at the July commission meeting a report on the ballot count process to address features that slow it down and how they could be remedied. To also discuss how you could improve increase the frequency of reporting the process.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, would you call the roll, please? Objections, call the roll.
Commissioner Butter?
Yes.
Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Ramo?
Yes.
Commissioner Valentine?
Yes.
Commissioner Wagner?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Yes. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you for being willing to do that. You said you had to go, right?
I do.
So I don't think we need quorum to hear public comment.
Probably.
Crap.
We can't really meet with that.
Okay. And then the special report from the ROV. She's looking to see if Commissioner Moore comes back.
Her stuff is here, so she can't.
What's that?
She's on her way back.
Okay. So then you can take off and we can still do public comment. And if we have time, we'll do the special report or some abbreviated form of it, which was to show us some of the where you can find stuff on the web.
I don't mean to always be the wet blanket, but if Butterly Moore is back. We'll have to.
He's right there. He's right here.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Hurry up.
All right. Thank you for sticking around as long as you could.
Thank you.
So let's do public comment. And we'll see if there's enough time to do the special report.
One other person.
Or Helen, do you guys want
to? If anyone virtually would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand now. Three virtual.
Virtual. And Pedro?
One in person.
Is that?
One in person.
Let's say 2 minutes because we're also trying to get to the special report.
Hey, Fernandez. Pedro Hernandez, California Common Cause. Thank you, Commission, for the progress that you made today. I encourage that the Commission has chosen to move the report forward. Working out the final language. I do want to speak on your future item on the count. It is not lost on state advocates what all the nuances that that ROVs have to comply by, both mail, certification deadline, et cetera. And I know that the state is thinking about other solutions as well. So I feel like I'm curious to know what capacity can be increased to speed up counts, but the certification deadline is the certification deadline right now. That said, I do think the public does have an interest in regular updates on how many ballots you have left to count, if possible, from one zip code, because I know that the vote by mail, when you receive your ballot, you only have limited information, control ballot as to where it came from. And because I think the media and the public is interested in, if it's a 500 vote difference, maybe there are 500 votes left to count that are in the queue from the zip code that could make a difference. And I think that sort of clarity would help the public understand if there is possible finality and outcome. So that's just like, it's not a way to kind of speed everything up, but it is a way to offer more transparency around what the state of a race means. And I know that the county services many different cities. So that's why I offered something like as a code count.
Mindy Pechnik.
Hello, hello. Thank you, commissioners. I am very in support of Zabre and what she's fighting for, because I have filed writ of mandamus with the courts, and the courts ruled against me because of the pressure from the ROV. So I think we need to have the voice of the citizens very upfront. And I'm very upset that this committee, which I like, is not representing as Zabre is fighting for our rights, because I can testify as both a candidate and a citizen to how Tim Dupuy has deprived us of our rights in voting, our rights to observe. And I think Tim Dupuy needs to be removed from his position. The budget question is bogus. We're paying him gobs of dollars to be both positions. We can save a lot. But I think what Zabre Valentine has presented is real. And I think we need to back it up. And I will volunteer with my various writs of mandamus around the rights of observers, which have been ignored by the courts and by the pressure of the ROV. Thank you.
On Guerrero.
Addressing the issue of, you know, what is your client, the customer, you know, is expecting, and I'd have to say that, you know, the United States in general, in California specifically, is really kind of the laughing stock of the world, how we run our elections. Now, there are things that, you know, Mr. Dupuy, it's out of his hands because, you know, he has to follow state law. But just let me tell you what we're seeing citizens here in Alameda County are saying is that France and, say, Canada, they have, you know, 30, 40 million votes they have to count. They're done in one day. There's no, you know, pre-election. There's no post-election. You're done on election day. Count it and you're done. And that's what we're expecting. And actually, you know, we used to be like that. Yet, you know, now it's like 2 months from the time you first mail out the ballots to the time it gets certified. And so by just, you know, taking into account reality here is that you have all these laws in California, the crazy laws here in California, at least, you know, up the number of releases or updates. Now I'm looking at San Francisco, and currently out, Orange County is actually has an election that where election day was on about a week ago Tuesday, and they're up to release number 8. They have 2 that they did on election day, and then 6 more in the span of 7 or 8 days, and they're not done yet. So that's what I'm, you know, then that's actually bending over backwards from a client customer point of view. Thank you.
Jackie Cota.
Hello, thank you all so much for meeting tonight. Can you hear me? Okay, yes. Great, I can see. All right, very good. I wanted to just, personal issues I was just able to get on, but thank you so much, Aubrey, for your support for the public. We really appreciate it, and you're fighting for that. I wanted to just draw the attention to just a couple of things. Real quick, the 4% adjudication rate of the ranked choice voting ballots, you know, that's pretty high. And so there needs to be more education, but also, with regard to the VCA, you know, if we implemented 3016.5, where people could actually bring in their ballots already filled out in person and be accepted at the vote centers, that would speed up stuff. We need to educate the public and actually implement that. But not only that, in addition, Mr. Dupuy just asked for an additional like $2.5 million for costs with regard to the VCA. And, you know, in the past election. So that's quite concerning. The VCA is very, very expensive and has really destroyed our elections with regard to timeliness and integrity. But big question, did we invoice Oakland? How much did we invoice them? And did they pay for the underage voting? That's very concerning because remember, that's out there. And we want to know as the public, how much did it cost? And did we invoice them? And did Oakland pay for it? And then not only that, to draw to your attention, the most recent runback information that Congressman Abraham Hamedin sent with regard to Rumbeck, and that reports have surfaced indicating that boxes of printed ballots from several Western states were improperly mixed in the warehouses with returned ballots. So you need to look into this because Rumbeck is one of our concerns that we've expressed to you with regard to having access to our voter rolls and printing ballots. Thank you.
I don't think we have time for the special report. David, till sometime, I guess, or probably not next month because we're doing the other special report next month. But, do two special reports?
Something special.
Well, we'll figure it out. The group of four, that is the president, vice president, registrar, assistant registrar, make the agenda. So figure out. We could. You're advocating for that?
I think we don't have to. It doesn't. The presentation on the need of the count and the frequency of the posting not have to be the special report.
We'll figure it out. Thank you for that feedback. So anything else? So one of the items on here actually is request for future agenda items. Well, mostly email me them, but does anybody have any that are top of mind?
Looking forward to both of these, learning about both of these things. Oh.
So with no objection, we'll adjourn. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you to the virtual audience.